Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Oh, I'm joined in the studio by Eilish Fisher, who's going to talk about her debut verse novel, Fia and the Last Snow Deer. Welcome, Eilish. It's a beautiful book.
Thank you so much. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
It's a hardback and it's beautifully illustrated. Is this what age group is this for now?
So that's for 9+. It's a fully illustrated novel in verse. But it would suit to be read aloud to any age.
That's what I love about it. Now, tell people about you, first of all, because Eilish is from Vermont in the United States. She's been in Wicklow since the 90s, is that right?
I've been in Ireland since the 90s, yes.
and Wicklow is where this mystical, beautiful winter flex story is actually set, prehistoric
it
Ireland.
Is.
So it's lovely that this is published today, isn't it?
It is. We had the launch last night in Halfway Up the Stairs and Bread 41
Greystones,
Greystones, which was fantastic.
Friends of the show.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're amazing.
We'll come back to that in a second. But did you grow up on a farm in Vermont?
I did. So I grew up in a part of the state called the Northeast Kingdom, which is a very rural part of Vermont.
I thought all of Vermont is rural.
It's all rural, but the Northeast Kingdom is its own kingdom, actually.
Donegal of Vermont.
Exactly. And it's right on the Quebec border as well, which
is
stunning. I grew up in a 200-year-old haunted, dilapidated farmhouse.
Really?
Which on 25 acres in the middle of nowhere, which was amazing. Amazing upbringing.
And all the Halloween imagery we have of America, it's kind of Vermont, isn't it? The covered bridges.
Yes.
Beautiful coloured trees. I mean,
yes.
It's far more trees in Ireland.
Maple trees. And at the moment, I think they're probably in full force with their colours. We're also known for maple syrup as well. So.
Yes, you are. And Ben and Jerry's.
And Ben and Jerry's.
And Bernie Sanders.
And
well,
Bernie
the senator,
Sanders, of
Vermont.
Course.
And because when we think of Americans living here, we go, oh, we see why. Nice green Ireland, rural and so on. But Vermont to Ireland doesn't feel like you've gone downhill.
It's always been, I have Irish heritage on both sides of my family. So I grew up with many, many stories about Ireland. And I always wanted to come here. And honestly, Vermont and Ireland are very similar. There's a lot of similarities, especially to Wicklow. I think that's what drew me to Wicklow and the mountains. So that was the draw, and I came here for university.
And
so.
you were also, were you, did you do Irish dancing growing up in America?
I did. I did Irish dancing and Ceilidh dancing, which was difficult enough to do in Vermont because there wasn't a huge Irish American community there. So we would have to go up to Quebec for the feshes and... which was great fun. I taught it for a while as well as a teenager. And at the time, this was in the 90s, a long time ago. Yeah. It was the height of Riverdance. So I had every intention of joining Riverdance and I never made it, unfortunately.
Instead, you came to study.
I came to study.
What did you come to study?
I went to Maynooth in 1998. I did medieval Irish history and sources and English literature.
You're more steeped in Irish culture and heritage than most of this country.
I loved it. I did my BA and my MA in the medieval Irish, and then I did a PhD in medieval English.
What did you do your kind of final study or your paper on?
For the Irish, the metrical Dinhanicus, and the tradition of place names.
Oh, you picked a good day. They're complaining in Limerick about the way they place names. The traditional place names.
The tradition of place names, the verse version, which the poetic version, so the poetry.
Now this book is making a lot of sense. and is there any insight you could give us that we don't know? Because we've anglicised all our names until they've been devoid of meaning.
It's been a very long time. But
tell us your PhD now.
That was the master's.
That was the master's.
That was the master's. An awful lot of the names you can see on the signs, they're still the same.
Yeah.
And this actually gives the mythology.
Even Donnybrook is like, I think, the place of the chapel of the Badgers or something like that. There's something there, even though the word Donnybrook now means fighting in America.
Right
old Donnybrook, because there was a festival there once upon a time. But come here, you came here in 1998, and I believe your parents also left Vermont later on.
They did. They moved to London, actually. They were in London for many, many years, as was my sister. She studied over there. And then they moved here when my son was born 9 years ago. Mm-hmm. So they are also in Wicklow, which is wonderful.
Did you come with a love or did you find love in Wicklow?
Yes. my partner's from Wicklow.
Oh, he's
from
Wicklow, okay.
He's from Wicklow town.
And what's his name?
Nick.
Nick. And yeah. Your son?
My son is Caden.
That's a good name.
Thank you.
Yes. And your parents, because I'm curious to know, your mother was a war crimes judge.
She is, and yeah, she still is. She's worked in The Hague and around the world.
Wow.
Yeah, she's an amazing woman. And and my dad is a theatre sound designer who worked in London and taught in the Central School of Speech and Drama in London.
There's a mix.
Yeah, yeah. They're amazing.
Theatre sound. What do you do? I'm a war crimes judge.
it's a good combination.
It's a combination. So that's your background.
That's my background.
What do you do for a living then, or what do you do for your main occupation?
I'm a writer. Yeah. This is what I do. But I've done other things in the past. You probably know from reading the book that animals are very much part of my life. I was an equine and canine chiropractor, sports therapist,
yes,
for a while. I think it really does come across in the writing because I working with them so closely in a physical sense, mm-hmm, and communication with them has been, I learned a lot from it. So
you have a fascination and love for nature, don't you?
Absolutely, yeah.
And your career as an equine chiropractor, unfortunately, was cut off a bit, wasn't it?
It unfortunately was, yeah. You can't tell on the radio, but I'm not very tall. And I did I did an adjustment on a very large horse that was too heavy for me. And I split the vertebral artery in my neck.
Oh.
And it led to a stroke.
Really?
Yeah. So So that put an end to any heavy lifting from there on in. But
which
it doesn't mean
the
animals are still, you know, I don't, might not work professionally with them, but they are in my life constantly. So
you can't escape the horses in Wicklow.
No.
And most of the writing you've done today has been poetry, I believe.
Yes. I started off with poetry. I started writing poetry when I was 6. About unicorns. it just progressed from there. Even as a teenager, it was my passion. And I think that's very much a lot to do with my upbringing, my education. My parents were, you know, avid readers and poetry lovers as well. I went to a Steiner school.
What's a Steiner school?
It's a special kind of education. There's a lot of emphasis on storytelling and arts and handwork,
really?
And also mythology. And I think where my obsession with mythology has come from was being steeped in that.
The story itself, Fia the Last Snow Deer, it's inspired by you walking in the woodlands of Wicklow on a cold day.
Yes. I was shortly after COVID, and it was very close to the winter solstice. And I just went out for a walk. And one of my animals is this amazing rescue dog who's a massive black German shepherd called Shadow, and he looks like a wolf. And if you read the book, you might see where the inspiration for a certain character came from. And we went out and it was frosty and it was beautiful. And I had very recently read an article about an archaeological discovery that was made that had placed humans and reindeer together in Ireland at an earlier period in time than had previously been thought.
Right.
And I was just walking and I was thinking, I wonder what that relationship would have been like, what it would have looked like. Since we don't really think of reindeer as being an Irish animal, I found it quite intriguing. And as I was walking, this idea of this girl and this reindeer walking through a very snowy ice age landscape in Ireland came
to me. Covered in trees as it was as well.
Yeah, and it was close to the winter solstice.
And close to the winter solstice, but also the period they're going through climate change like we are.
Yes.
Just in the other direction.
They are, exactly.
That's what the beauty of the illustrations is, because it starts out in snowy black and white.
Yes. Yeah.
And we start to emerge towards the light.
Towards the light. Yeah. And I just, it's one of the most stunning design elements, I think, of the book is starting off so cold and bleak nearly, but I mean, still beautiful. And that progression through, and Dermot Flynn is just incredible.
That's the illustrator.
That's the illustrator, yeah.
And the idea is that you're, it's a winter story, as I've been calling it specifically, not a Christmas story.
It is not a specifically a Christmas story. I love Christmas. I'm very much a Christmassy person. But I really wanted to write a book that would appeal to anyone from any cultural background. We all share this world. We all share the natural world. The solstice is something that is something that we can all relate to and all celebrate in the coming of the light and the return of the light. So I was very keen to make sure that it was inclusive of, you know, everyone. And
plus, you've set it in pre-Christian Ireland.
Exactly. So we are before any of that. We're even before
Celtic mythology. Fia's a girl.
Fia's a girl.
Very popular name nowadays.
It is. It's a beautiful name. Yeah. I think I would have called my son Fia if he was not a boy. it's a beautiful name. And Mish is another character in the book, the boy, it's her cousin, who is, I think, probably my favourite character in the book.
Okay.
His strength. Fia is a very, very strong female character. All of my characters are strong. My female characters are strong because women are strong. It's just how I write them. But Mish is, I wrote him very much with my son in mind. I wanted him to have a male character that whose strength was his kindness and his support. I very much feel like Mish embodies that, and sort of positive masculinity.
And did Caden give you a good review on that front?
He has given me a good review.
Very good. You sound a little bit withholding there at the moment. It takes place around the Ice Age. Climate change is having a disastrous impact on all forms of life. That's the kind of the setting.
The setting, yes.
Yeah, that's the drama in the background. We have some young readers, actually, who have been reviewing it for us. And we'll start with Fia, because Fia Ryan.
Excellent.
Fia Ryan is 8 years of age, and you'll need to put these on to hear this. And she's given us this review, so let's have a listen to what Fia thinks of the book.
I like this book because it's about a girl called Fia, which is technically my name. And I like it because it's so full of magic and there's a snow deer in it, the last one. And because her herds ran away when the sun went to sleep. I think other kids should read this book because kids who love magic would definitely love this. Because it's so full of magical things. And I like how they meet a wolf, which guides them to the deer mother, who they ask to wake the sun up. It was super fun to read.
Super fun. Some spoilers there as well. But that's okay.
That was amazing. It's so good to hear a child's opinion of it.
That's Fia, and she's F-I-A-F-O-D-D-H.
Excellent.
Than the F-I-A of the title. We'll have another. Listen to another. This is Sean McDonough, who's 11 years of age. So he would be perfect age for this now.
I like this book.
Oh, sorry, that's Fia again. This is Sean.
Hi, I'm Sean. I really enjoyed this book. At first, I wasn't sure if I'd like the verse style of writing, but to my surprise, it soon felt normal. The book is set in ancient Ireland, where the characters live in an eternal winter. The story sees the main characters, Fia, her cousin Mish, and Solas, the snow deer, on an adventure to end the eternal winter. I really like the illustrations because I felt like they brought the characters to life. The black and white with yellow creates an atmosphere for the book. I really liked the characters because I felt they were well written. I would recommend Fia and the Last Snow Deer to other children aged 10 plus because I really enjoyed this story and I think some adults would really like it too.
These reviewers.
That's amazing. Yeah. Oh my goodness. And can I just say his point that about the verse, I think it's so refreshing to hear that it was so engaging, because one of the reasons I write in verse is because I feel it's a very accessible form for young readers.
Yeah.
And that makes me very happy. I'm delighted to hear that.
The Sean McDonagh, I had the same feeling going, oh my God, do I want to read a whole book in verse?
Yeah.
But it just brings you nicely along. And as you're saying, it's meant to be read aloud as well. Well,
yes,
it doesn't have to be, but
it
is a nice thing. That way you can bring it to all ages. We have a third reviewer.
Oh, excellent.
Sorry to put you under pressure with such these critics. And it's a good, long and detailed one. This is from Isult No. She's 12 years of age.
Hi, I'm Isolde. I'm 12 years old and I live in Waterford. Here's my review of Fia and the Last Snow Deer by Eilish Fisher, with beautiful illustrations by Dermot Flynn. Fia and the Last Snow Deer is a beautifully written novel, and it tells the story of Fia, a young girl living in prehistoric Ireland. So every year, the mythical deer mother wakes the sun after a long winter and, you know, brings summer back to Ireland. But unfortunately for the past 3 years, this hasn't happened. So Fia and her people are being plunged into, you know, a seemingly endless winter. So this can't go on for much longer because crops and animals are dying out, and so might Fia's people if the sun doesn't come back soon. Now the only remaining source of food for the people is Fia's snow deer and best friend Sullis, which of course Fia can't let that happen. So this year, Sullis and Fia, they set off on a journey guided by Fia's great-grandmother Gerd, a shaman, and accompanied by Fia's hunting rival and cousin Mish, to visit the deer mother and get the sun back with the sacrifice of Sullis. Personally, I just adored this book so much. It was beautifully written in the verse format and accompanied with Dermot Flynn's gorgeous illustrations that come together to make, you know, a both verbally and visually wondrous story. I loved its cozy adventures feel, and I think the verse format, it just fits perfectly into the storyline, and I don't think it could be written any better, personally.
Wow, they don't hold back.
I'm actually a little emotional here. That's incredible. Thank you so much to all three of them.
That's Isolt, Noe, and Sean McDonagh, and Fia Ryan. Because when you put a book out there, you're with kids, they're going to be blunt about it, aren't
Absolutely.
They? Absolutely. Straightforward.
And I love that about kids. They tell it like it is, and I want to know like it is. I want to know what they feel about it. So that was incredible.
I think one of the reasons, like, we love having you on as well is because Irish kids, they want to read Irish stuff.
Yes.
And they're marketed the kind of big global names often, and it's harder and harder, isn't it, to get the Irish authors and the Irish stories in there.
And there are so many talented children's authors and illustrators in this country, and I would absolutely recommend, you know, go to your local bookshop and look at the Irish section, because there are exceptional stories there that you can read that are, you know, every bit as good, if not better, than the global ones. So I would encourage that, absolutely.
Well, they kind of prefer that because they can identify, obviously, with Fia going through Wicklow and so on.
Yeah.
Is Caden, he's 9 years of age?
He's nine.
So is he kind of a half American, half Irish, or what's his?
He thinks he is, yeah, but he sounds very Wicklow. But don't tell him that, because he thinks he sounds American, but he doesn't. He's a little rock star. He likes his music.
And what do you all read at home?
We're reading the Louis Stoll's Loki books, which are not Irish, but we were also reading Millie McCarthy. he loves reading, and he likes graphic novels as well.
Oh,
he's really
yes.
into graphic
yeah, yeah.
novels.
Coming to that age. What about yourself? What are you reading at the moment?
Oh, my goodness. I'm reading The Haunting of Fortune Farm, which is also an Irish...
The Haunting at Fortune Farm.
Fortune Farm. And, oh, my goodness, I'm going to blank.
You can never remember.
We
sprung this on you.
It's a brilliant book, and I highly recommend it. And I like spooky things, so... Yeah. Obviously.
That's for grown-ups, is it? Or is it a...
It's a middle grade.
Oh, it's middle grade. Oh, very good.
Yeah.
At the right time of the year for it.
Yes, yeah.
We'll find out the author, don't you worry. But Fia and the Last No Deer is the name of the book. We wish you well, Ailish Fisher.
Thank you so much.
Sophie Kirtley.
Yes, of course.
That's the author of The Haunting at Fortune Farm. Yes. Sorry, that really confused people. Fia and the Last No Deer. It's published by Puffin. It's out today. It's a lovely winter story meant to be read aloud, but as we heard there, those three kids absolutely enjoyed it on their own as well. Good luck now and enjoy yourself.
Thank you. We'll chat to you again. Thank you so much for having me
on. And try not to look at place names around Ireland. They're all misspelled.
I'll do my best.
515.